Continue our study of 1 John, if you want to turn there. We're in chapter 3 of 1 John this morning. We have seen that this section repeats what chapters 1 and 2 did. It repeats this idea in chapter 1 and chapter 2, we are children of light. And so it talks about how to live as children of light, how to renounce sin, renounce the darkness, and how to live as children of light. In chapter 3, he begins a new section, but it really follows the same pattern. He tells us we're children of God, that we're a child of God. And so how to live as a child of God. And we looked last week at how to renounce sin. And so we're going to be told again today how to love one another. There's this incredible command for us to love. It's imperative that we love one another. Jesus said it, that we will be known by our love, right? Paul said that love is what fulfills the law. John tells us love is an imperative, that it's proof that we have the love of God if we love one another. And so he goes on to talk about here the idea that the imperative of love. You've heard me say it again and again. You are loved so that you can be loving. It's not just, God's love is not just to be consumed, it's to be conveyed. And so you are loved in order to be loving. And that's really what John tells us in this letter. So 1 John chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 11, and it is up here behind me if you want to read with me. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. So he begins by talking about love. Now, at the end of the last section that we studied last week, he said, whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother or sister. That's verse 10, the verse just prior to that. And so he really starts to unpack that in this next section. He really starts to tell us what it means to be someone who does not love the brother and sister. So he's expanding upon this idea, and he's telling us about love. Now, a more literal translation of the Greek here would be, because this is the message you all, have heard from the beginning, in order that we all must continually love one another. This is a command of God, and it's not a new command. Jesus commanded it, but even before Jesus, God commanded it. Think about the Jewish law. The Ten Commandments, even, are about relationship, aren't they? They're about our relationship with God and with each other. The Ten Commandments are relational. They're about love. And within the Levitical law, there was built into it the idea of of taking care of the widow, the orphan, and the stranger. Now, there's a reason for this. Because in the Jewish court system, there are three requirements that to get to the Jewish court system. And that is, you must be an adult Jewish male. If you're not all three of those, you have no voice in court. So God built into the law the care for the widow, the orphan, and the stranger so that they could not be just voiceless victims, that they would have somebody to stand up for them in court. So love is built into the law. Love is not a new command. It's not new idea to love one another. It's built in. It's from the beginning, as he says. And then he takes us to Cain and Abel. Now, we know this story, but it's interesting how far this story's been stretched, because we got Cain and Abel, and we all know Cain murdered Abel, right? Cain brought his offering, Abel brought his offering, and Cain murdered Abel. Now, we know this story, but it's been explained away a lot. People have said, well, the reason that Cain and Abel, Cain murdered Abel is because Abel brought livestock and Cain only brought produce. And so God didn't like that, and so that's what made Cain murder Abel. But there are, in Leviticus, there are produce offerings. There's grain offerings and things. So that doesn't make any sense. So I want to read to you, and listen carefully, I want to read to you Genesis 4, verses 3 through 5. It says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. God had no regard for Cain, not just his offering. He had no regard for Cain. Why? Why? Because remember back in chapter 2, we talked about the Antichrists. The Antichrists that come out of the church, they were with us but not of us, so they went out from us. Do you remember that section? They did church, but their hearts weren't right. They did the stuff that church people do, but their hearts weren't right. That's what I think is going on with Cain. He did what a worshiper does. He brought his offering, but God could see his heart wasn't right. And so, because his heart was not right, God did not have any regard for Cain's offering or Cain. So that's what I think is going on here. And it's interesting that John brings him up in the context of love, isn't it? It's kind of interesting. Even more interesting, I think, the word used for murdered there or slew his brother, it's a very specific Greek word. There's a Greek word to kill. That's not this word. This word is literally slaughtered by cutting in the neck. In fact, it's used in the Greek version of the Old Testament to talk about the lamb that's slaughtered by cutting the neck. That's that John is telling us that's what Cain did to Abel. He cut his neck. He slaughtered him. He in a sense, sacrificed Abel. That's the vision that we're getting from the Greek here. So we know from Genesis 4, we know that God even tells Cain that he can hear the voice of his brother's blood from the ground. So we know it was a bloody death. So John is telling us that Cain slaughtered Abel, slaughtered him, cut his throat, sacrificed him. So John is giving us these two opposing ideas. Selfless love and love that sacrifices others. He's giving us this God's view of self-sacrificing love and the Satan's view or the devil's view of love that sacrifices others. That's what John is setting up for us here. Selflessness will always be seen as repulsive to the selfish. Always. Self-sacrificing will always be repulsive to those, to the selfish who want to sacrifice others. So we have this great example, and then John goes directly to, do not be surprised, wonder not, marvel not that the world hates us. So he's setting up Cain as the world and its hate and its darkness and its selfishness and its pride. He's setting up Cain as this, and Abel as the one who is selfless, the one who is a true worshiper of God. So John's told us before that the world's going to hate us. And back then, in chapter 2, he said that the world's going to hate us because of Jesus. It hated Jesus, so it's going to hate us. Here, he says, the world hates us Because we love. Because we have a relationship with God. Because God's love, which we saw when we started this section, we saw that God's love is a love that does not exist among mankind. It only comes from God. And that God's only love coming to us and then going through us is what the world hates. The world hates us because we have that relationship and because we love. Now, I want to point out, I guess, it's not, we don't love in order to be hated by the world. That's not the point. The point is not to just make the world mad at us. The point is to love. The point is that we live in love. God's love comes to us, and then it goes from us to others. So we have love for God and for each other, and that's what the world's going to hate. And that's the point, is to love. As John keeps telling us, that's the point. Love is the point. And love is the proof that we love God. Love is the proof that we've accepted the love from God to us. Our love for one another is proof of all of this. And it's proof that we're different from the world. Not, again, that's the point. But because we are different from the world, it is going to hate us. It's going to be against us. Because this world is about hate and darkness and pride and selfishness. And that's not who we are as Christians. That's not who those who have accepted the love of God and love one another stand out from that. You can see it. And then he goes on, a more literal translation of verse 14 says, "As for us, we know absolutely that we have permanently withdrawn from the sphere of death into the life, because we are in the habit of loving the brethren." The one who is not loving the brethren remains in the sphere of death. So he gives us this. I like the way the CSB says it. It says we have passed over death. And so we have that image, I get the image of the Passover, of the spirit of death passing over the door. You remember the movie The Ten Commandments, right? You've seen the movie The Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston as Moses, and it shows that spirit of death passing over the doors that have the blood of the Lamb on them. That's the idea that John is putting in our heads here, that we pass over death into the life because of Christ, because of the blood of Christ. We pass over. So, beautiful picture. And we are passing over death into the life. What is the life? It's the life with Christ. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the life. And so if we have eternal life in Jesus Christ, we have the life. And we pass over death and go straight to eternal life. And then John kind of concludes this by saying, everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. So John equates hate and murder. They're the same. Now that seems harsh. That's what Jesus said too. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 21 and 22, "You have heard that the ancients were told you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be guilty before the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court." There isn't, Jesus didn't see, John doesn't see, a difference between hate and murder. He actually sees that hate leads to murder, and that's its natural bent. That's where hate goes. As a matter of fact, one of the early church fathers said this. It'll be up here, but it may be too small to read. So let me read it aloud. "The living spirit of man is incapable of the state of indifference. He who banishes brotherly love has in fact banished himself to the rule of hate. Love and hate, like light and darkness, life and death, replace and necessarily exclude one another. He who has not the one of necessity has the other. The example of Cain shows the true and normal result of hate. And he who falls under a state falls under its normal result of that state. So that's stated very well. We are incapable of indifference. We want to live in the gray area, but it doesn't exist. Scripture doesn't give us a gray area. It doesn't give us a fence to sit on. You are light or you are darkness. You are love or you are hate. You are a child of God or you are a child of the devil. It does not give you middle ground. Our spirits are literally not made for middle ground. We are one or we are the other. So there's no room for neutrality. You are one or the other. I will say this. Hate only grows as far as love recedes. Darkness only grows as far as light recedes. Light and love have to give room for darkness and hate. Why are we giving them room? Why are we giving up that room? So I have, do you have love? Do you have the life? I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and consider that question. There's no more important question I could ask you this morning than do you have the life, eternal life in Jesus Christ? Because you can, starting today. It's a simple prayer that you can pray along with me in your own words and say, God, I know I have sin in my life. I've done things wrong. I've said things wrong. I've thought things wrong. And I understand that the Bible calls that sin. But I trust that Jesus came and died in my place on that cross. He died to pay my price. And so I ask you to forgive me because of his finished work on the cross. And I ask you to come into my life and give me the life that John talks about here. The eternal life. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, you need to let somebody know. Come and let me know. Let your neighbor know. Maybe this morning as you look back over the past week, it's been more about darkness than light. It's been more about hate than love. Will you commit between you and God that you will live the light, that you will live in love, and that the darkness and hate will have no room? Father, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you, Father, for the example that John gives us. We thank you for being able to clearly understand that we are one or the other. We are love or we are hate. We are light or we are dark. We are a son of yours, or we are a son of the enemy. Keep us mindful of this. Help us to live as light and love, as children of God. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.